Interesting.
Well, I'm not sure about that, but yeah.
Hello, and welcome to So You Want to Get Into Politics, Adventures of a Would-Be Councillor. This is a fly on the wall podcast following the journey of my friend Craig as he enters the world of party politics for the first time. I'm Rachel, and I'm a local resident of Bemminster and a town councillor.
And I'm Craig, and I hope that you, the listener, will learn how I can represent you and what I'm about. Rachel, how are we going to do it?
Well, we're going to do a weekly Q&A, hopefully picking up questions from our listeners. That somebody has asked about the future of Ring and Ride.
We could talk about local issues. First bus of rubbish. And I think at the moment, first treat the number six like a second thought.
We're going to talk about the week's activities and what you've been up to.
Be very factual, very local, and very positive. But I think it's quite important that I just put a warning out that sometimes we will go off topic. We are prone at laughing at each other and generally having a bit of a good time.
We are. So this podcast will be available each week from wherever you get your podcasts. So don't forget to subscribe, like, and share to get up-to-date episodes. Hello, Craig. Nice to see you.
Evening, Rachel. How you doing? You all right?
Yeah, I'm really good. I'm really good. So it's nice to see you. I've seen you out and about over the week. I think you've been a pretty busy boy. What have you been up to?
Yeah, trying to keep dry, but I gave up on trying to keep dry, so I just carried on with posting my surveys. Glad to report that I'm pretty much finished now. There's a few bits around Bemminster to finish off, but I'm really excited because the surveys are done. My leaflets have gone to print, and that'll be the next lot of information going out with people. And I'm looking forward to seeing how that goes down because I wanted to be very factual, very local, and very positive in my message on my leaflets. So yeah, that's where we are.
Putting aside the factual and positive things, what people really want to know is if you have now got a waterproof coat.
I have. I can confirm. I can report
Good.
That I've bought a new boot, new boots, and a new coat. So I am set. I'm set
Good.
Up for the spring.
Good. I'm glad, and I think people will be, you know, pleased that you've been able to acquire the right attire to go out and in all weathers. So
I had people
brilliant.
stopping me in the street. People
Yeah.
stopping me in the street. Concerned about me.
Well, and you've been limping as well, haven't you? You've got an
Yeah,
old rugby injury, so you know, you
I've got a
just,
gammy knee.
yeah,
I'm struggling.
you're a trooper, you're a trooper.
Definitely.
So it's exciting that your leaflet's gone to print.
Yeah.
Or some might say exciting. I know you're excited. You've shown me, I've had a sneak preview, which is, I think it looks great. I think it's really punchy and has some really great stuff on there. But tell us more about your six core points. That
at the start of all of this, I sort of really sat down and thought about the kind of key local issues that matter to, you know, me and you and people in the town. And I'm fairly confident. I think, you know, we see this stuff all the time through, you know, our town council work. So it wasn't particularly hard for me to be able to really sort of drill down to what I think is important. But yeah, it really is what I'm calling kind of my plan for Bemminster, and my six key points. And the first one is just carrying on with the work that we started with the 20 mile an hour time for Bemminster. But this is something that I know Mosterton is keen on as well, because kind of wider road safety is really important to me. And I think sort of 20 mile an hour Bemminster is part of that. And I know that's really important to people because we surveyed, you know, the town about that, and 75% of people agreed that it was the right step forward. So I'm really hopeful that we get a good result on that in the coming weeks. The second one is continuing work around reducing crime and antisocial behaviour. You know, the end of last summer, we saw some real issues with ASB in Bemminster. Cheddington has sort of quite unique issues with fly tipping. So I just want to get into that. I've got some ideas. So, yeah, reducing crime in ASB is a big one for me as well, because that really affects and sort of plagues everyone's life. And everyone's affected by that, especially more vulnerable residents. So, yeah, I'm really keen. I've got some really good ideas. I think we can do some stuff around that. So that's my second key point. Third one is protecting and promoting public transport. Protecting what we've got so far in terms of the number six and ring and ride service, and seeing how we can promote and make those services better. And we've kind of, in a lot of ways, proven that can be done with the CB3 bus that we run. So taking lessons from that and trying to sort of get a better service. But I'm sure we'll talk a bit more about that
Yep.
today. My fourth key point is supporting local businesses and community groups. And again, this is really important. In Bedminster, most of our businesses, I think like 99% of our businesses are independent businesses. So, working with them to kind of promote the local economy, and there's loads of really good reasons why you want to do that. But also, some local community groups provide really important services as well. And helping them to sort of access funding and generally make their life easier and better. So people like Pratt Bridge Project, Ring and Ride, people like that, they provide really important local services. And I want to be able to make their life a bit easier with running, basically. And I know, again, we've spoken to those sorts of groups recently about those kind of challenges they have. My fifth key point is all around what I'm sort of loosely referring to is your voice, our share. And really, that's just about seeing a bit more bang for your buck. I actually think Dorset Council generally does a pretty good job in providing services, but it doesn't always feel that way. So I want to really look at ways of promoting what Dorset Council does and where they're falling short on things like weeding, pothole repair, all that kind of mundane day-to-day stuff. I've worked on that quite closely over the last 2 weeks, and because of the flood stuff that we've had recently, and we've had some really good results. Literally within 48 hours, Dorset Council are out there repairing potholes, hoovering out the drains, and doing all the stuff that I've reported. But they don't promote, and they don't tell anyone they've done it. So I kind of want to, I want to, make sure that we're getting our fair share of investment in the area, and to make sure that people know that that's happening. And the last key point for me is to carry on working on the neighbourhood plan for Bedminster, and also by extension supporting the other villages around the neighbourhood plan. It's not particularly interesting, and no one else is talking about it, but it's really important for Bedminster. So that's my kind of sixth point as well. And that really influences everything about the town and the ward, where houses are built, what they look like, local services, loads and loads of stuff. We could talk about that for ages. But that's my six kind of key points, really. 20 mile an hour, ASB, protecting public services, supporting local businesses, pushing for investment in the local area from Dorset, and get the neighborhood plan in place so we can kind of protect our environment and know what the town's going to look like for the next 30 years.
Is there anything left? I mean, that you're covering so many points, aren't you? And it's just fantastic to know that you are going to be representing Bedminster and Mosterton and the other surrounding villages that come into the ward. It's just fantastic to know that you're going to be representing us in those really important points. So it's great.
I think it is a lot, but it doesn't feel like a lot to me because I'm already doing it
Yeah, and it
in a
feels
way.
like it dovetails, that
Yeah.
one that the flow of what you've just talked about, it's kind of, well, the last 3 points, well, last 4 points, I suppose, do all flow. Well, no,
Yeah.
all of them, they do all flow
It
from one to another. They all dovetail with each other,
in
which,
interlinked.
yes, oh, thanks.
Inter
Yeah, that's more,
interlinked.
yeah, very good. Nice word.
Yeah. No, it is a lot, but you're right. It does interlink. It is very relevant. But most importantly for me, it's all very local. It's stuff that's really relevant to us and what's happening here, and things that I think we could really make improvements on. So that's why it's really important to me. There's kind of six things. So yeah, the
And
method in
it's
my
that,
madness.
yeah, great. I think it's, we're going to just keep talking about the local, aren't we? Because there's still that misconception that that people are seeing this as a national
Vote.
thing that they're voting for. And
Yeah.
it's this is why we're always just going to keep coming back to local. So I'm going to pick one of those topics. We mentioned last week that we would do this, so we're going to go for number three and pick out the public transport point that you were going to go off on a tangent, and I'm glad you stopped yourself because I want to talk more and be a bit more hone in a little bit more on it.
Yeah.
And I want to ask, I'm going to bring in one of our questions that we've had on Facebook from Dan Biggs, and there was a couple sort of subsequent comments from what he said. But you say you want to protect and promote transport. So I'd really like to understand what those two things mean and the difference between those two things.
Yeah.
And Dan's question related to the buses needing to be running earlier for maybe for schools and work and that kind of stuff for further towns outside, and then later in the evening to bring people into the town to help with the economy. And I think those, I'm hoping that they might link to what you're going to answer about why you've chosen to sort of focus on protecting and promoting our public transport. Can you tell us a bit more about that?
Yeah, no, sure. So what I mean by protecting and promoting our public transport, I think the first thing we need to do is we need to protect what we've got. So over the last 4 years as chair and 5 years on the council, it feels like kind of every 18 months or so, a rumour goes around, or First Bus, or First Wessex, whatever their title is, sort of make an announcement that they're looking at reducing, or they're going to cut the number six service. And if we were to lose the number six service for the town, it would be catastrophic, really, for lots of different ways. So the last time this happened was about 18 months ago, and I actually called a meeting with all the neighbouring towns and parishes, invited representatives from all of them to come along, representatives from WayTag, which is a local community group that represents bus travellers, Chris Lowder, the local MP, people from Dorset, and actually the meetings was recorded. It's on the Town Council Facebook page, and there was work behind the scenes done, and we kind of protected the number six for the foreseeable. The problem with the main bus service, the number six, and this is why I talk about protecting it, is the way the contract currently works with Dorset is there's a wider contract for First to provide all the bus services, not all of them, but just for the argument, say all of them. For Dorset Council, some of those bus services are profitable and some of them aren't. So what happens is the council will subsidize the routes that aren't profitable, like the number six. So what then happens is every now and again, the bus company with a contract will try to get rid of the loss-making services. I personally think First Bus are rubbish, but at the moment they've got the contract. So I want to make sure we protect that service, because if we can protect it, we can then try to influence through consultation to make the service better. And if more people use the service because it's a better service that works for the community, it will become a profitable service, or at least will be harder for First to say, oh, we don't want to run it anymore. So kind of in answer to Dan and the other residents' question is that one of the kind of really obvious problems with the current service is that for some people, it doesn't run early enough. So it makes it hard to use it as a viable service to go to work or go to college or even travel from school to school for sixth form. And likewise, the last service, I think, is 6:30 in the evening or something. So it also finishes too early. The problem is it's the kind of chicken and egg scenario. So we want to promote this, then move to promote the service. So more passengers feel confident to use it instead of using their cars. More passengers using the service means more more of a stronger argument to then make the service start earlier, make it finish later, and essentially provide a good, viable service that takes people out of their cars and onto the bus. So that's what I mean by protecting and promoting. We need to like either get first to treat the number six seriously, or if I'm lucky enough to get into Dorset Council, influence that process and say, listen, if you're not going to provide this standard of service that we expect, then we'll look for other contractors to provide the service. And then from that, we can then build and promote the service to make it something that actually works. Because there's community groups that can feed into this, I think could have more influence, like Waytag, because there's some really stupid situations where the number six doesn't link up with train services. So you can't get the bus to get the train from Crewkerne. Empty buses traveling between schools. Why move a bus from Bearminster to Bridport as an out of service bus when it could be in service? Like, what, it's stupid. What's the point? So those sorts of little subtle changes could make the service better very quickly, and then, like I say, hopefully more people do it. And in a small way, we've proven this is possible with the CB3, because we actually have a timetable, the CB3, that links into people's needs and other transport, and it works, and people use it. And sometimes we have to turn passengers away. Sometimes we turn passengers away on a Saturday because we're full on a service that Wessex that first told us was not viable. That, the CB3 was created by Bedminster Town Council, because first took away the Saturday six because they said no one uses it, but we do it and it's full. So you can do it properly.
Why do you think that is?
I think there's some reasons why the CB3 is a popular service that a company like FUS could never replicate, and I wouldn't expect them to, i.e., we're local volunteers running a community service. So generally speaking, the community feel that it's their bus and they want to look after it, if that makes,
Yeah.
But it's also because we are reliable. We hardly ever change the timetable, whereas bus companies tend to change them every 6 months, and then you have to re-plan your whole life again. And we've thought about the pattern, with customers in mind. So we think about, this route needs to run at this time because the train comes in there, and the 96 comes from Yeovil on the Saturday evening. So we need to wait. We've written a 10-minute gap in the pattern so we can sit and wait for the 96 to turn up. So people that want to go to Yeovil don't have to panic and think they're going to miss the bus because we'll wait for them. So we've designed the shift pattern. We've designed the bus pattern around the passengers and the infrastructure around us. And first and other companies don't do that. They just think drive bus up road, don't think about anything else. Whereas we've almost written the timetable for everyone else before ourselves. And actually, why wouldn't you do that? Because you want it to be a services that will actually be used. Then it would be profitable. Not a second thought. And I think at the moment, first treat the number six like a second thought, and that's got to stop.
You touched on Ring and Ride. I believe that somebody has asked about the future of Ring and Ride. You were somebody spoke to you, didn't they, about it? Can you talk to us more about the Ring and Ride, and how that works, why that works, and whether there is a future for it?
Yeah, absolutely. So I think this is another example about sort of protecting really important public transport for us locally, and then also kind of linking up with what we were talking about in terms of accessing funding, like for groups like Pratt Bridge. So how my key points all flow into each other. So the Ring and Ride is currently, it's a charity essentially, and it's provided by an organisation that's actually based just outside Dorset, and historically they've provided a service to passengers that need, generally elderly or disabled passengers that need to get from A to B for shopping or day trips, things like that. And they pay for the service, and that goes kind of into the pot. And historically, towns, parishes, and local authorities have also provided grants to the charity to run. Some of those grants have stopped. So Dorset Cancer, for example, they made a grant payment a couple of years ago, but they were approached, I believe, by the charity recently, for some more financial help, which then leading into an example of my point about trying to help local groups. The grant process for Dorset Council is, I think, quite good, but it only benefits new groups that are project based, not necessarily established groups. So there's a bit of delay on funding, but there was a solution found. In the end, actually, the Ring and Ride service has continued through some donations it's received by members of the public. But between myself speaking to the local council at the moment, Rebecca Knox, who was obviously speaking to Dorset Council about, trying to figure out a way of releasing funds that through a framework that doesn't really exist, which I, she had success with, and speaking to Chris Loder, the MP, around a long-term solution. That work kind of stopped because the Ring and Ride didn't stop. However, the question I had in the post office earlier in the week by Susan, who is my favourite passenger on the CB3, and obviously a regular user of the Ring and Ride, was, kind of what's going to happen next. So it's absolutely on my radar that the money that the charity's received to carry on won't be there forever, and we need to think about how we can support the Ring and Ride going forward. And that's why it links into my point around helping local charities and community groups provide those vital services. Because I actually, part of my thought process is that people like the Ring and Ride will always do a better job, like our local Pratt Bridge. They'll always do a better job at running a youth club compared to Dorset Council. So why not have a way of supporting those local groups to provide that local service? So I've got a meeting in the near future with people that can help me with that, but it's a conversation that will start up again now, and see, first of all, see where the Ring and Ride as a charity is, and whether they want to continue the service. Because I think there's an element of the Ring and Ride as a group wanting to retire as well. So that's another challenge. But absolutely, we need to make sure that there's a continuation in service, whether it's Ring and Ride or somebody like Dorset Community Transport that can pick it up, and also pick it up and provide the right type of service. I'm absolutely confident we'll find a solution. But yeah, that's where we are with the Ring and Ride. So at the moment, it's still going to April, and we're in talks in the background to make sure it continues, because again, it needs to. It's a really important service to local residents.
What we're really lucky with here in Bedminster and surrounding areas is that passion from our community for these kind of aspects of the need within the town, isn't there? And there are these core people that will volunteer to drive the bus, you being one of them. And I know you're looking for more drivers, aren't you? Because that will become a problem. If you don't have volunteers, but the heart is there for people to want to keep these services going. And I think that we are very lucky in our town for because of that and because of the people that are here that want to help our residents. So you kind of got an easy ride, haven't you? If you're going to be when you know if you get voted in, you've got all these lovely warm fuzzy people that are going to be able to do the things that you're gonna say you're gonna do and be able to help you achieve these things, I think, wouldn't you say?
No, I would. And actually, I think some of the things I talk about, supporting people like Ring and Ride, Pratt Bridge, CB3, and there will be other groups across the ward. It's not a way of me saying we can cut more services at Dorset Council. It's absolutely not that. If anything, it's the opposite. I think Dorset Council can do more, but for me, it just makes sense. If you've got a local community group providing a really good service, it makes good financial sense to have a process in place where DC can really promote it and support it and make it easier to provide funding. Because if Dorset Council support or make it easier to financially support someone like Pratt Bridge, and Pratt Bridge are a that feel supported, those great volunteers that put in their time feel like they're not being overworked or neglected. So it's not just about cash, it's also the perception and the feeling that, well, actually Dorset are behind us with this, they are helping us, and they want us to succeed. Then people like Pratt Bridge, and like I say, there's loads of other people out there, will always provide a better service and make more, more value for better value for money.
Yeah, well, they'll be motivated, won't they, instead of feeling disgruntled and kicked to the curb. So
Yeah, absolutely.
it is, yeah. I mean, and that's great that you're going to be flying that flag, and well, hopefully it'll be you flying the flag.
I'm hopefully, yeah. But like I said, so it's not just about money, it's about making people feel like they're supported. So yeah, that's why I think it's really, that's why I think that's a really important priority to push, to really sort of empower a great base of people we already have. Flood warns is the same, isn't it? Dorset are very good with supporting us financially with kit and things, but if you're going to ask volunteers to come out at early hours of the morning to clear drains when it's chucking down with rain and it's bloody miserable and horrible, then the least we can do is shake down Dorset Council for some funding and buy them some good quality kit and a decent broom and a shovel, and
Yeah.
kind of give them the tools. And so it's not about replacing services, it's about supporting people that want to do above and beyond.
Yeah.
So there you go, that's my two
Perfect.
penneth worth.
Nope. Good, good. Okay, well, that sounds like a good note to end on. What have you got coming up next week?
So next week is really exciting. I've got two reasons why. Obviously, it's my birthday.
Well, obviously, but I'm going to ignore yours as much as you ignored mine back in January. So,
Yeah, happy birthday for January.
yeah, thanks.
Yeah, so it's my birthday on Saturday. So I'm going to spend my birthday as you would expect, and that's posting leaflets.
Yep.
But also some sort of exciting stuff going on over the weekend and some meetings I've got scheduled, but I can't tell you any more. I will share with you next week.
Interesting.
Well, I'm not sure about that, but but no, yeah, another packed and very interesting week that I look forward to sharing. But I will end on saying that I've one of the things I've really enjoyed this week, and I really enjoy with recording our podcast, apart from the jokes and fun we have, is being asked lots of questions and being kind of poked and really pressed on where I stand and what I'm about. So it's great to have a few questions this week, and we will decide what to talk about next week and keep the questions coming. I want people to scrutinize as much as they want, really. It's good. It's a big
Absolutely.
holiday.
Perfect. All right. Well, we look forward to hearing from you next week then. Have a good week and a good birthday. Happy birthday.
Thank you very much. Speak soon.
So don't forget to subscribe, like, and share to get up-to-date episodes.